Psalm 119, beginning at verse 161, and we'll read to the end of the song. This is a long psalm, wasn't it? Did you memorize it? These first eight verses, 161 to 168, is one of only two sections in the entire song where there's no request made, there's no prayer. It is just a stating of praise for God and the trustworthiness of His Word. The whole psalm extols the Word of God, and there are many requests, there are many cries, but the first section here, there is no request and no petition. It's interesting just to hear our psalmist, who evidently is still being persecuted, finally stepping above all of that and saying how important to him the Word of God is in all of those circumstances. He's not saying, Lord, get me out of this difficult circumstance. He's saying, Lord, this is what your Word means to me in this circumstance. And then when we get to the second set of verses, we'll hear him a number of times say, Lord, let this happen. Lord, let this happen. That is where we'll find the petition and the request. So he begins by saying, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee. O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me. And 176 is probably the most remarkable prayer in the entire psalm. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Much in the scripture about seeking the Lord. And we spend much of our life feeling like we need to seek the Lord to a greater degree. Isn't it interesting prayer for this psalmist in a culmination of everything that he's had to say about the Word? He says, I have gone astray like a sheep. Seek me, Lord. Not just seeking you. Seek thy servant. For I do not forget thy commandments. Great and remarkable conclusion to this long and beautiful psalm. No petition in the beginning, stating a series of things about the Word of God. Princes, people in authority, people that are impressionable, people that are intimidating, people in power. Lord, they persecuted me, but I stand in awe of your word. It's so easy for me to be in awe of a person, to be in awe of an individual. Sometimes somebody we constantly see in the media, if we finally see them face to face, how different they seem, so human. Remember years ago working at a university in Portland. I was not a professor there. I was not a student there. I was fixing seats there, in the, just so I don't want to confuse anybody. But Jimmy Carter, when he had run for the presidency, had spoken there and promised that if he won the election, he would come back. So it happened to be a day that he was coming back. We didn't know that. We got within several blocks of the university. We couldn't. The streets were blocked. There were police everywhere, so we had to park and walk with all of our stuff. And, you know, we finally get up to the main entrance of the university, and here comes the motorcade with all the police, and this limousine pulls just 5 foot from me. Just, I'm standing on the curb, and there goes Jimmy. He gives me a big smile, waves at me, he just goes by. Hey, he's a man. Did you see that wrinkled look on his face? That wasn't a sincere way. Hey, he's a man, just like, you know, and you're kind of overwhelmed. That guy's just a man. Just a man. I remember one time we were in Israel, and one of the quote-unquote televangelists that we'd never have speak here. One of the kooky, lying, thieving, low down, deceiving. Was out the River Jordan. We were just finishing baptizing, and here he comes with his entourage and music. You know, they get the whole production. I mean, just amazing. And the guy looked much older in person. And Bill Gout and I were walking out of the river, and he was coming down the stairs there by the River Jordan, and we were walking past him, and Bill said to him, "Liar, liar, pants on fire." And we laughed for about a half an hour. He couldn't say. He said, "I don't know. I couldn't help myself. It just came out." He said, "I couldn't resist. I don't know why I did it." We cried laughing. But we can be in awe of men, can't we? And the fear of man brings a snare. This psalmist is finally saying, you know what? Princes, nobility, those in authority and power have persecuted me, but Lord, I'm not in awe of man, I'm in awe of your word. I stand in awe of your word. Just a great thing to take note of as we... It's like finding great spoil, 162. Your translation might say treasure. Treasure is something you dig for. Spoil is something you get at the end of a battle. And if you've noticed in your own life, normally if we end up with something out of God's word that is really blessing us, it's either because we dug for it or we just finished a battle. It's like great spoil, rejoicing for it. I see these people on TV who win the sweepstakes, the clearinghouse sweepstakes, and they'll knock on a door and some lady comes to the door with a cup of coffee and a bathrobe and curlers, and they're there with and she's jumping up and down, screaming, carrying on, and you know, the price is right. See, when they get picked out of the audience, the way they act, you know, here this psalmist is saying, you know what? I'm in awe of your word. It's not people, Lord, it's your word that's become a great treasure and a great spoil to me. And I think, how excited am I? Got a Bible in my car, Bible's in my office, Bible I carry with me, Bible's at home, Bible in the bathroom, Bible everywhere. I think, what would the psalmist do if he had one written copy, Old and New Testament? It would just, we wouldn't have been able to settle him down. It's like great treasure to me. It's like great spoil. Because he says, and he sets out two contrasts. I hate and abhor lying, but your law do I love. There's hate and love are set in contrast. He hates and abhors deception. And deception in regards to spiritual things is always the worst. There's no thief that is more low down and rotten than a religious thief that's stealing in the name of the Lord or in the name of religion. There's no deceiver that's more damaging, because he not only deceives, he damns sometimes. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law, Lord. It has stood the test. Great peace have they. Well, seven times a day do I praise thee. I don't think I do that. It's a good challenge for me. Seven times a day breaking out into song, seven times a day praising the Lord. I mean, I praise Him when I wake up. I try to be cognizant each morning when I open my eyes, laying in bed. I first thing I try to say is, okay, you're God, I'm not. We'll start on the right foot here before my feet hit the ground. I'm a man. You gave me another day. I'm thankful for my next breath, my next heartbeat, and you're God. So we'll start here. And certainly I praise Him during the day. I think of Deuteronomy 6, where they're commanded to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. It says, speak to your children about the Lord when you're walking in the way, when you're sitting in your house, in the evening, in the morning, when you rise up. To put the word of God on your doorpost. And you know, seven times a day speaks of continuance, that praise should be in our hearts. If we're not intimidated by men, if God's word is a treasure to us, if we hate falsehood and we love the truth, seven times a day, he says, great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall be a stumbling block unto them. And it doesn't say that life doesn't stink sometimes. And it says, I won't stumble because I love your word. It doesn't say in every circumstance that we praise God for the circumstance, but it says in the circumstance. Even in the most hurtful, painful circumstances, when our hearts are broken, we can say, praise you, Lord, that one day we'll stand in your presence and you will wipe away our tears. And there is no sorrow there. There is no death there. There is no suffering. We can't be phony and say, at least I can't. Thank you for this, Lord. It hurts. Praise you that you let this happen to me. I mean, there's an element of truth there, but reality to me is, Lord, I can't wait until you come. I can't wait till you get us out of here. I can't wait till this is all behind us. I can't wait till we're reunited. We stand around your throne. Because we placed our hope in His Word. There are things that are stumbling blocks to unsaved men. Well, if God's a God of love, why is this happening? That don't stumble us. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He marries loving and keeping. You can't separate them. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies. Notice this, for all my ways are before thee. All of our ways. He knows what time we get up in the morning. He knows what time we go to bed. He knows if we determine, Lord, I'm going to seek you every morning at 5. And then when that alarm goes off at 5, we hit the snooze button and we end up at 6. He knows. But he knows we intend it because he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. He knows that we intend to get up at 5. In our hearts we got up at 5. Lord, you know this morning in my heart I got up at 5. He knows when we leave for work. He knows when we get home. All of our ways are before him. He sits at every meal with us. He's witness to every conversation. He rides in the car with us. And I'm glad. There isn't anything in our lives hidden from him. That is both, to me, challenging, but it is also very consoling. Very consoling. Because he knew when I woke up this morning how I was going to be, and he hangs out with me anyhow. You know, Spurgeon said, I know the Lord chose me before I was born, because he'd have never chosen me after I was born. All of my ways are before thee. Now, if all my ways are before thee, then let my cry come near before thee. Now the petitions, all of my ways are before you, Lord. So let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. The first request, give me understanding according to your word. He says, Lord, prayer affects our minds. Prayer affects our minds. Lord, give me understanding. Not just simply give me knowledge. Understanding is always preferred to knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. Love edifies. Lord, give me understanding. I remember when I first got married, the first couple of years. Every time Kathy and I didn't see eye to eye, Happened in 72, happened in the 80s one time. But she would say, "You don't understand." And I would say, "Yes, I do." And we go round and round and round till finally, you know, a couple of years go by and you realize, "Lord, give me understanding." And the first thing you understand is that you don't understand. She's right. But she'd much rather have me understand than know. And the psalmist is saying at the end of this long song extolling the word of God, "Lord, I just don't want knowledge. Grant me understanding. I don't want to just know what you do. I want to know why. I want to know it's because of who you are. I want to understand, not just know. Give me understanding." There's a cry, "Lord, I know that your word and prayer can affect my mind." Solomon, wisest man that ever lived, raised by a shepherd, granted by God wisdom, understanding. "Give me understanding according to your word." Understanding then produces something. "Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word." Understanding produces freedom. It's understanding according to your word, then deliver me, pluck me out, save me according to your word. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." There's all kinds of bondage in this world, and there's all kinds of freedom. And some people are perennial prisoners to anger, to bitterness, to circumstances. They're out of prison geographically, but in prison every day of their lives. "Lord, first help me understand, then Lord, deliver me. Give me freedom." How many times have we been in a circumstance, and sometimes it's a week long, a month long, 2 months long, 6 months long, and we're saying, "Lord, why are you doing this? Lord, if I was you," like he's taking suggestions, "you know, I would do it this way. And if you love me," and then finally, when the whole thing goes by, in hindsight, we go, Understanding. Understanding produces freedom, deliverance. Freedom produces something in our mouths. It produces praise in our lives. "My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statute." And what a wonderful thing to bring our mouth under control. Because as "my lips shall utter," it means to bubble forth or to pour forth. It means what will naturally be bubbling out of my mouth is what hasn't been bubbling out of my mouth for the first 20 years of my life, Lord. I don't want any of that to bubble out of my mouth. "What shall pour forth, Lord, from my mouth will be because you've granted understanding, because of the freedom you've given me. I will utter praise when you've taught me your statutes, and my tongue shall speak thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous." Lord, I'll be a witness. You can't infect somebody with the measles unless you've got it. Trying to share Christ with somebody when you don't know Christ is ridiculous. If you read the lives of John and Charles Wesley, how they came to the United States, to Georgia, to lead the infidels to Christ, and they weren't saved yet. And they came back to England mad because nobody got saved. It's because they weren't saved. And then you read their interaction with George Whitefield and how he came to know Christ, even though they were members of the Holy Club. And then once he was born again, how many lives he affected. And Whitefield, when he came to America, he started to pray for the ships that he was on. And angry. By the time they get to America, every day they're pulling both ships together at sea so that Whitefield can do the Bible study. And everybody on both ships was born again by the time they got here. Lord, if you grant understanding, if the freedom in Christ I experience is real, Lord, it no doubt will flow forth from in my mouth, my tongue, Lord, in my witnessing. There will be a reality that is attached to that. "Let thy hand help me," notice this, "for I have chosen thy precepts." I've made a choice in this, Lord. So he's bold enough to say, "Let your hand help me." There is no other help that will suffice, Lord. I've made a choice against my classmates and what they think, because I don't stand in awe of man, but in awe of your word. I've made a choice, Lord, and it doesn't matter what my employer or my employees, my fellow workers think, because I'm not in awe of man, I'm in awe of your word. I've made a choice, Lord, it doesn't matter because my whole family thinks I'm a lunatic because I sing your praises and go to church twice on Sunday and read the Bible all week and they think I flipped out, I'm a member of a cult, it doesn't matter because I've made a choice, I'm not in awe of man, I'm in awe of your word, I've made a choice, and Lord, because I have made a choice, therefore, Lord, help thou me with your hand. We know then, we have that great confidence, Lord, I've chosen in the right direction. And though all else forsake me, Lord, I can look to you. Great stuff. Just as we look now at the request as he goes through here. It affects his will, then it affects his emotion. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. You'll notice if you shape your life and your character after the word of God, you may not be real popular in your surroundings. But it does make you long for the salvation of the Lord. You got nothing, you know, there's nothing, if you're living in compromise, you're saying, oh Lord, don't come today. If you make the wrong choice, Lord, not today, Lord. Just wait till my wife's black eye goes away, Lord. Wait till I kick this habit, Lord. Wait till I pay off the bookie, Lord. No, I don't want God to wait till you do any of that stuff. I want him to come today. Before the Super Bowl. Nah. I want him to come now. Long for your salvation, Lord. I've chosen my life in your direction. You've granted me understanding. That set me free. It's affected my speech and what I have to say. And Lord, I long for your salvation. Let my soul live. Look at that verse. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgment... Isn't it interesting? After all of these 175 verses, he's right at the end. He says, Lord, allow my soul to live. I can't do that. I can't supply that. Lord, you have a divine monopoly on life. You call one life to yourself. You send one life forth. Lord, life belongs to you. And I hear so many Christians say, you know, I feel so dry. I feel so far away from the Lord. I feel like I'm in a desert. I feel dead. Well, what do we do about that? Well, he's the only one that supplies life. I think of Aaron's rod in the hand of Moses for 40 years on the backside of the desert, a stick cut off from some tree somewhere, handed to Aaron, 40-year wilderness journey, somewhere towards the end of that, the challenge of Korah, somewhere between 50 and 80 years, this dead stick. And Moses said, take your rods, take Aaron's rod and place it before the Lord for the night. And in the morning, it budded and it blossomed and it brought forth fruit. And I think, how many times have I said, Lord, I'm dry, I'm dead. And I go around and complain about it instead of getting on my knees for an entire hour, for 2 hours, for putting my life before the Lord for a night, so that in the morning I might bud and blossom and bring forth fruit again. There might be light, life. He has the divine monopoly on life and wants us to understand that. That when we feel dryness or deadness or heaviness, that there is nowhere else to go. You know, here's the psalmist. All of these verses, he's talked about God's judgments, God's laws, God's testimonies, God's precepts, God's statutes, God's word over and over. Now he's saying, but Lord, you, Lord, let my soul live. I don't want just precept. I want reality. Add life, Lord, to all of this, and it only comes forth from you. I have gone astray like a sheep. The most remarkable verse in the entire song, I think. Seek thy servant, for I don't forget your commandments. I have gone astray like a sheep. How do sheep go astray? You know, it's their nature to go astray. Sheep don't sit around and say, you know, look, when the shepherd goes asleep, let's head down Atlantic City, you know? He's going to be out soon. Did you see those Hughes over there in the next farm? I think we should sneak over there tonight. I think we should go out and score. Got this R-rated movie. Now, sheep just wander because they're sheep. Now, there is rebellion, the Bible talks about it, and stubbornness and sin, but just the nature of the beast. It's their nature to wander. And human nature is much the same. We stray. You see that in your kids. Go over there and clean that up. Do you understand? And an hour later, your kid is lost. The mess is still there. You find them somewhere. What are you doing? Did I tell you to do something? What? It's nature. We do it. Lord, I'm going to get up and seek you every morning at 5. And I'm going to read a chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. I'm going to be faithful in attendance. I'm going to get involved in this ministry. And then somehow, just life and the things of life somehow become larger to us than those commitments that we make. And we find ourselves that we've wandered. We haven't done it intentionally. But the problem is that the things in life that are really important are not pressing. And the things in life that are pressing are usually not important. I'm going to get up and seek you, Lord. And you get up and the cat threw up on the kitchen table. And then the smoke alarm's going off. And the dishwasher overflowed. And those are not important things. Those are pressing things. And the important things, to be faithful in your fellowship with Him, to seek Him. We stray, don't we? And this psalmist is wise enough at the end of all of this to say, Lord, I love your precepts, I love your word. I'm not intimidated by men, Lord, I'm in awe of your word. And I'm seeking you. I want you to grant me understanding and freedom. I want it to manifest in my speech. I'm longing, Lord, for you. Add life to me. But God, in all of this transaction, Lord, I want the onus to be on you. Lord, in all of this relationship with you and your word, please, Lord, don't let it just depend on my seeking you. I'm like a sheep. I've gone astray. Seek thy servant, Lord. Remarkable prayer for the Old Testament. We pick up shadows of it. Ezekiel would say this, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and in the dark day. Jesus said, the good shepherd lays down his life for the flock, that I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus talking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, and they were criticizing him because he was eating with tax gatherers and sinners. And they're saying to him, you don't know what God is like. If this man was a holy man, would he be doing this? And there's God Almighty in human flesh with crumbs in his beard and grease on his hands looking at these religious Pharisees and saying, no, you don't know what God is like. Because there he was in front of them. He says, which of you, having one sheep that leaves the flock, will not leave the 99 and go and seek for that one? And he says, when that shepherd finds that lost sheep, he doesn't say, okay, look, here's a map. If you'll start out in this direction, you look for this mountain with the one tree sticking off this side, then make a left. Doesn't say that. He doesn't give the sheep directions back. It says, when that shepherd finds that sheep, he picks that sheep up and he puts it over his shoulder and he himself carries it back to the flock, rejoicing because that which was lost has been found. Seek thou me, O Lord, that he would stoop down. He's given us such tremendous things in his word of truth, of instruction,
of precept, of doctrine, of assurance. And 176 verses into the song, this singer finally says, "But Lord, I don't want it all, this relationship we have, to depend on my side of being faithful. Because like a sheep, Lord, I stray. Seek me, Lord." Not presumptuous, not a wrong thing for us to pray. The very heart of the Lord. "There shall be no more hunger, neither thirst, neither shall the sun light on them, nor the heat of the day, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Lord, I stand in awe of your word. It's not man that freaks me out, Lord, it's your word. It's like treasure to me. I hate deceit, but I love your law. 7 times a day, Lord, praise you, I think about you. I seek you. And Lord, I know my ways are always before you. Anything in my life you don't see. So Lord, then let my cry come before you too, because I'm asking for understanding. Let my supplication come before you, that I might experience freedom and deliverance. Lord, I bring my life before you, my tongue. Boy, that's a challenge. I'm longing for your salvation. And like Aaron's rod, Lord, I'm dry. I feel dead, but I'm going to spend a night in your presence seeking you, that you might add life and fruit. But even in that, Lord, don't let it depend on my seeking you. Let it depend on your seeking me. I wander, Lord. That should be my middle name, Lord. Joe Wander Foch. Seek me, Lord. I'm your servant. I have not forgotten thy testimonies. I love your word, Lord. Seek me. What a remarkable thing to pray.